Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. If you're a fan of country music, you may be familiar with a song by Garth Brooks with the line, "Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers." When things don't go exactly as we planned, we are quick to assume that God has not heard or answered our prayers. But I've come to believe over time that God listens and answers always according to God's will, not mine. In hindsight, I understand that the very thing I most fervently pray for is sometimes not in my best interest. And if you believe that God has a plan for each of us, you can begin to see the little ways in which God is shoving you in one direction or the other, ever so gently or not so gently. This may be God's greatest gift to us, an invitation to wait or a closed door that then shifts our path in another direction. Four words in the Lord's Prayer are essential to understanding how God guards and guides us. Thy will be done. Understanding this helps us to see God's path for our hearts, and it connects us when we go to God in prayer with God's heart. My own prayer journey started with two simple prayers that became routine. I learned to say at bedtime, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Who could sleep after that prayer? It was a superstitious prayer, really. I was worried about dying right before sleep, not knowing who I was praying to or for what purpose. And then there are the graces that we say hurriedly before mealtime so we can quick get on to the meal. Though not particularly formative, these prayers actually were the beginning of a lifelong relationship with God. As a young mom, I attended a Bible study, and I mentioned to a member that I was getting ready to take a licensure exam for which I had been studying many months. And she said to me, "I'll pray for you." And my response was a quick thank you and a wave as I was walking out the door. And she stopped me in my tracks and she said, "No, I'll pray with you." And I looked at her rather incredulously and said, "Now, together, out loud?" That was like not my Episcopalian experience. You know, in the liturgy, we all pray together, and then every once in a while, somebody will say a name quietly. But to have somebody actually intercede for me, it seemed way too intimate. Perhaps it was a nudge from the Holy Spirit or my own curiosity. I sat with her that day, and we prayed together. And I remember feeling so vulnerable and yet utterly cared for. A couple of days later, I got a note from her inviting me to become her prayer partner. That was the beginning of a 15-year relationship where we prayed regularly for each other and our families. Our connection deepened greatly over time as we shared our joys and our difficulties. And as we put ourselves in faith before God, trusting our needs and our wants and our thanksgivings to God, it was also formative spiritually. That prayer relationship was a tangible opportunity to see and experience God moving and shifting us day to day. Prayer opens the door for a powerful relationship. Now, according to Gallup polls, 90% of people say that they pray. Most can recite parts of the Lord's Prayer and little bits of the 23rd Psalm. But unless we have an intentional prayer practice, the time that we are most likely to pray is when we're in the midst of crisis. One writer suggests that this is like learning to drive on the beltway. We just want to survive the ordeal. But there's so much more to prayer than just survival. Prayer keeps us connected relationally to each other and to God. And our relationships develop as a history of communications and deepen as we share more of ourselves. So imagine for a moment if you only took 1 hour on Sunday mornings to communicate with your significant other. What kind of communication or intimacy would you have? We miss out on the depth of presence when we limit our time of communication. So it is in our relationship with God. I think the disciples had an inkling of this when they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. They watched their Lord retreat to a quiet place, but it was special because he was communing with God in prayer. They saw a connection, a conversation, a relationship, and it seemed to undergird everything he did in his life. So they asked him to teach them how to pray that way. And Jesus taught them words that were connected to the personhood of God. It would establish a trusting relationship, a pattern of relating to God in both intimacy and community. He said, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins and do not bring us to the time of trial. So if we examine this pattern a little closer, the very first thing I want you to notice is that Jesus calls God Father. In Aramaic, the translation of Abba actually means daddy, which implies intimacy, that God considers us family, and that we are to come to God like a child in prayer, trusting and seeking God's guidance, knowing that God loves us with the passion of a parent. Hallowed or holy is your name tells us that our hearts make God sovereign. When we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we give our hearts to God's purposes in our lives. And when we ask for daily bread, just what we need for today, we continue that sense of dependence on God for everything that we have. Trusting that God will provide, we acknowledge that dependence. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those indebted to us. We are invited to examine just how God's love is reflected in our relationship to the other, to the stranger, to the one we're having a disagreement with. Our journey is to be lived out communally with each other and allow the Holy Spirit to flow from the vertical relationship out to the horizontal relationships. Finally, save us from the time of trial. This is the most popular prayer, probably said with the most fervency. We ask God to shield us from the adversities of life and keep us on the path of God's kingdom. For some, this becomes the proving ground of God's existence. When trials do occur, and when our hope runs thin, that is when it's critically important to be surrounded by a community of faith who will pray on our behalf. That makes God's presence tangible through that other person. After he taught his disciples to pray, Jesus told them a parable to help them understand the nature of God's relationship to man and woman. A neighbor knocks on the door late at night asking for some extra bread to serve an unexpected guest, and the man is sleeping and refuses to answer. Jesus says the neighbor is to persist, to ask, to search, to knock, and the door will be opened, however unexpectedly. Because we are so loved by God, we will be given so much more than we ask or imagine. Jesus ends his teaching with a promise. He says, "If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Notice that Jesus doesn't say, "God will give you what you ask." God will give you the Holy Spirit who works for your good and God's purposes. Today's gospel invites us to reflect on our own prayer journeys. Maybe your path has been a little rocky. Maybe there have been stops and starts in your prayer life. Do you come to some sense of trust and expectation and persistence in your relationship with God? Or have you given up, assuming that your prayers have not been heard or answered? Are your conversations connecting you to the heart of God? God's compassionate nature draws us in. God wants to be in relationship with us. Lean on the words that Jesus taught us. Find your sacred space. Light a candle. Meditate on a picture. God's answers will come to you. Maybe in ways unexpected, but God's answers will come to you in the depth and breadth of God's love relationship to you. May God bless us all in our prayer journeys. May Jesus continue to teach us, and may the Holy Spirit flow through all of us out to each other. Amen. Amen.